As we prepare for our service today, we ask that you would please silence your cell phones so as not to interrupt the service. Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Matt Saxinger, and I'm a pastor at Christ Evangelical Free Church. It is an honor to be here today to officiate the wedding ceremony of Benjamin Brovant and Colleen Rauscher. Today is both a joyful and a solemn occasion. It is joyful as the two of them are beginning their lives together, and it is solemn as they are both making significant commitments to one another. Those commitments are being made before all of us, and ultimately before God. As he is the one who has instituted marriage, it is fitting that we would begin our day by praying to him. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for your love that you have given us. We thank you for your son and his desire to pursue a relationship with us through the cross. Today stands as a day of love based on covenant. And so, Father, we pray your blessing on the covenant of Benjamin and Colleen. We pray that their marriage would be many joyful years together for the rest of their lives, and it would be a testimony of your love to us. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Benjamin, will you take Colleen to be your lawfully wedded wife, to live with her according to God's ordinance? Will you determine to love her as Christ loved the church, giving yourself for her? Will you be kind and compassionate and forgiving as in Christ God forgave you? And will you be faithful to her as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Colleen, will you take Benjamin to be your lawfully wedded husband, to live with him according to God's ordinance? Will you determine to submit to him as the church submits to Christ? Will you be kind and compassionate and forgiving as in Christ God forgave you? And will you be faithful to him as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Well, Ben and Colleen certainly didn't arrive at this day alone, and many of you here today are a testimony to the influence that you've had in their lives. On behalf of them, I would like to thank you for the roles that you've played, the memories that you have together. And mostly, we need to thank the parents, because they have for many years provided for you, put up with you, loved you, cared for you, spent a lot of money on you, and most importantly, they showed you what it looks like to know and to love God. And so parents, as the pastor overseeing this wedding, I offer a special thank you for your role in raising them to know God's love and teaching them and training them to show that to another human being. It is a rare gift in our society. And so then I ask, who gives this woman to be married to this man? Very good.
Ephesians 5:18-33 says, "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband."
Love is not proud, love does not boast, love after all matters the most. And love does not run, love does not hide, love does not keep locked inside. Love is a river that flows through, and love never fails you. Love will sustain, love will provide, love will not cease at the end of time. Love will protect, love always hopes, and love still believes when you don't. Love is the arms that are holding you, and love never fails you. When my heart won't make a sound, when I can't turn back around, when the sky is falling down, nothing is greater than this, greater than this. 'Cause love is right here, love is alive, love is the way, the truth, life. Love is a river that flows through. Love is the arms that are holding you. Love is the place you'll fly to. And love never fails you.
So here we are, Ben and Colleen. It's been a little over 2 years since the two of you first met at a volleyball night at Christ Evangelical Free Church. And Ben, you noticed Colleen that night, and you noticed that she was nice, but also very quiet. And Colleen, you noticed that Ben was very generous and was very concerned for others, and that stood out to you. Well, the two of you continued to get to know each other and even happened to be put on the same volleyball team. And one of your first games was right back here behind the church, and really continued to grow in a friendship. But Ben, it was interesting because you weren't even supposed to be here long term. You were supposed to be here temporarily. You were from Michigan in Pennsylvania to do a job for a couple of months, and then you apparently found a reason to stick around, which I think we can all agree is a good thing, and I don't think you're regretting that, are you? No. Well, you both continued to see each other in group settings and became friends, but it wasn't really until they both went on a missions trip together to the Dominican Republic that things really began to grow to be anything more than just a friendship. Where Colleen, you saw the way that Ben ministered to the children in the Dominican, you saw the way that he was touched by the people's lives, and that really stood out to you that Ben was a very special man. And Ben, now I happened to be on that trip as well, and I remember seeing the two of you interact and thinking, something's going on here. And so at one point I pulled you aside and I said, you know, Ben, what's going on with you and Colleen? And you just kind of got a smile, much like the one on your face right now. And you said, well, she's a pretty cool girl. You went on to talk about how you hoped something would work out. And I simply, at the end of it, said, I'd approve of that. So this is me approving of that, by the way. Well, you both agreed that trip was one of the best experiences of your lives, and you were very thankful that you were able to share that together. So after that trip, then you continued to spend time together as friends until, Ben, you finally took her out on a date. You took her to the pagoda and then out to dinner at the Hitching Post, which I think was some sort of subliminal message there. And it was there that the two of you prayed that God would guide you in this relationship, and it's certainly clear that he has. Colleen, you got to the point where you just knew that you wanted to marry Ben. You saw his character. You knew you were both growing spiritually. You knew you'd both fight for each other and fight for the relationship. You said, and I quote, you were excited to be one step closer to seeing God's perfect love played out in a beautiful way in your lives. Ben, you knew that Colleen was an amazing, kind, God-fearing woman. She was the kind of woman that God's word speaks very highly of, and so you weren't about to let her get away. And so that brings us to today, where the two of you stand here promising your love to one another. And it's a love, really, that I feel is different than what we typically see. It's not based on mere infatuation or simple reasons that maybe the other person makes you happy. It's a commitment to each other, and that's ultimately why we're here. You are committing to love one another in the way that God says we should love one another. And we find that explained in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. It's a very fitting passage for us to look at on the day of your wedding. Ultimately, there are three truths in here that are very challenging for everyone in this room in regards to what love is. Specifically, we're going to challenge that to you as well. The first truth that we see is that love is not seasonal. Love, when God created it, was not something that he meant to come and go like winter and fall and summer. It's meant to be something that lasts, not something that goes dormant for a period of time and then blooms again. Love, in God's mind, as the creator and author and perfecter of it, is meant to be something that continues and lasts and endures. It's meant to be able to thrive in even the harshest of environments or circumstances, to be faced with rejection and rebellion. God created love strong enough that it would be able to be in the face of such selfishness and still be there. That's a very important thing for us, because we see much love in our society as love that is temporary. And God says that love becomes real and becomes authentic when it's actually in the face of the things that can thwart it and can cause it to back down. God wants love to continue. See, when John writes, he says, "Let us love one another." And he uses a phrase that in the original language has a tense that it would continue on. We could say, "Let your love continue on for one another." Well, that's nothing new in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 13, when it speaks about love, the Apostle Paul writes and he says that love is kind. Love is patient. He doesn't say this. He doesn't say that love shows up occasionally in kindness and love sometimes is patient. No, he says love is kind and love is patient. He doesn't say that love was kind or love was patient. It is. And that means a lot for the two of you, because the challenge is going to be simply that love would be something that is and not was in your lives. That it would always be something that's alive, always be something that's being shown to one another. That love is never something that was, it's something that is. See, God wants you guys to look at each other and all your imperfections and all your faults and failures and say, "I still love you," because love is in spite of all that, not simply something that was. And as we look at what love is, it's a sign. Love is meant to be a sign. You see, love is from God. It's divine in its origin. It's not simply the result of chemicals and synapses firing and the evolution of a race. Love was a gift from God that we would be able to experience and enjoy some of his character and some of who he is as we show that action to somebody else. John even goes so far as to say that the way we love one another is a sign that we know God and have been born of God. It's a mark of our relation to him. Just as every child bears the DNA of their parents, so every child of God should bear the mark of their heavenly Father, that is love. Most of us have looked at a young child and debated as to whether or not it looked more like the mother or more like the father. Maybe it has the father's eyes or the mother's smile or the mother's hair. We try to attribute different characteristics to the parents. And John's writing and he says that when you look at somebody who follows Jesus, they should be able to look at you and see a resemblance that bears the image of God. And that resemblance is love. So the way that we love one another is an opportunity for God's character to show up in our lives, that we would look like him. His point is that when we love each other in an unselfish manner, we are ultimately manifesting the love of God. We're making it visible to each other. Ben and Colleen, you have the opportunity to be a sign to one another that you belong to God first and foremost. And you show that sign in the way that you love one another. 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. You see, we know what love is because God has shown it to us. He demonstrated it by his son's gift of love on the cross for us. Now we have the opportunity to say that we have received that, and we can show that we have a sign that we love one another and we belong to God, and that sign is in the way that you each love one another. So love is something that is, and love is a sign. And when you look at it like that, you understand that love has a goal. Love has a reason. God had a purpose behind love. And he says this, he said that God's love is perfected in us. It achieves its goal. It reaches its fullness. And that's a fascinating thing, because God created love for us to receive it, but it's not until we share it that love actually achieves its goal, that it reaches its fullest potential in us. So love is first a thing that's received, and secondly, a thing that is shared. And the received aspect of that, he says, in this is love. Well, in what? He goes on to say, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In this is love, he says. You see, we are tempted to define love by all sorts of things in our society. We say love is somebody making us feel good. Love is somebody being the person that we were meant to be with. Love is a soulmate. Love is, and John comes back to again and again that this is love. This is love. This is love. And he calls it back. He calls us back to the place where we recognize and understand that love is what Jesus showed us. That love is the fact that God sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word, but it means something very simple. That our sins incurred a debt against God, and his wrath was directed towards us. But Jesus, being God's son, took that wrath upon himself when he went to the cross. He absorbed the wrath of God, and that's what the word propitiation means. He says, this is love, that Jesus took our place, that Jesus died in our stead. Our sins put him there, but God loved us. That's love, and that's what John calls us back to understand that love is far more sacrificial than emotional, that it continues even when we don't feel like it. The reality is that many people have searched an entire lifetime for such a love that says, I will love you in the face of anything that makes you imperfect. I will love you as you truly know yourself to be in all the brokenness. And when I say that people have searched a lifetime for that and not found it, that's because we've looked for that love in people instead of in Jesus. Jesus is the one that we look to for that love, and he's the one who has given himself for us. And so today I would like to remind all of us here that if it's love that you long for in life, you will not be content in love until you first find love from the one who created it, Jesus Christ, as the one who laid down his life for us. That's the most important message that I know Ben and Colleen would like me to share today, is that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ by placing your faith in him as the one who is the propitiation for your sins, the one who has laid down his life for you. And you can place your faith in him and be loved in the middle of your brokenness because Jesus went to the cross to be broken for us. But it's not just that love is received, is it? It's that it's shared. And Ben and Colleen, that's why we're here today, to be able to share that love with one another. And Ephesians 5, as Aaron read earlier, is a beautiful example for how husbands and wives specifically share that love with one another. Ephesians 5 says that wives should submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. Now, that's not a very common idea anymore, and we think of it as somewhat archaic. But there's a lot of truth and beauty and even equality in that phrase, where God's not saying that you are lesser than him, as in a less valuable, less worthy person. But he's saying that he designed you for a distinct role to honor, to respect, and to lift him up. And Ben, your role on that is actually one that is even more sacrificial, because he says that husbands, you should love your wives as Christ loved the church, as he laid down his life. Ben, the rest of your life for your marriage to be as great as it can be will look like you laying down your life for what's best for your relationship with your wife and what's best for her. And that's a challenge that the Bible has for us, and it's a challenge that I have specifically for you, that you would be a man who continually lays down your life for the good of your wife and your family. That you would let both of you, that you would let God's love achieve its goal, its fullness in your love. I ask you simply, would you like to experience God's love in part or in full? If it's in part, then you can do what is easier and what's most convenient. But if you'd like to experience God's love in fullness, then it looks like each of you looking at the love that God has for you, letting it continue, let it be a sign, and loving one another the way that He has loved you. With that in mind, I would like to lead you in the exchange of vows. Ben, would you please repeat after me? I, Benjamin, take you, Colleen, to be my lawfully wedded wife.
I, Benjamin, take you, Colleen, to be my lawfully wedded wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or poorer.
For richer or poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Until death do us part.
Until death do us part.
I, Colleen, take you, Benjamin, to be my lawfully wedded husband.
I, Colleen, take you, Benjamin, to be my lawfully wedded husband.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better or worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or poorer.
For richer or poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Until death do us part.
Until death do us part.
Ben and Colleen have also chosen to write their own vows to one another, and they would like to read them now.
Colleen, Proverbs 31, 29 through 30 says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord is to be praised. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. It's obvious to me and to anyone who knows you that you are a woman who fears the Lord. I'm so happy and thankful that I get to be the one to praise you and to love you for the rest of this life. I love you, and I believe that God brought us together with this day in mind. It is truly a great honor to take you as my bride today. I feel as though you are deserving of so much more than I can give, but nevertheless, you said yes. I believe that marriage is a holy and sacred commitment designed by God to depict the relationship between Christ and the church. For the rest of this life, and with the Lord's help, I will prove and practice this commitment to you in the following ways. I will strive to walk in the Spirit of God and lead you as our Heavenly Father leads me. I will love you even as Christ loves the church. I will honor you, cherish you, encourage you, bless you, and keep you. I will forsake all others and be captivated only by you. I will be considerate and respectful of you as my equal. I will be patient, understanding, forgiving, as God so often has been with me. I will share the responsibilities of life and help you achieve your dreams and goals. You are a precious gift from God, and I will strive to return you to Him in better condition than you were when He gave you to me. It is with true reverence and joy that I make these vows to you. I'm extremely excited to see all that our future together holds. I'm so thankful that I get to share this life with you and grow old with you if the Lord wills. Thank you for being my best friend and for saying yes.
Benjamin Lee, Ben. Today I take you to be my husband, my faithful partner and friend, my one true love. You are the one I have prayed for, and I have learned so much through your love for me. I promise to submit to you and obey you in everything as to the Lord, as God enables me by His grace. I recognize you as my head, even as Christ is head of the church, and put my trust in Him. I will seek to cultivate for you the beauty that comes from a gentle and quiet spirit, knowing that this is of great value to God. I will seek to be filled with the Spirit and live under His control. I will seek to be open and honest with you and speak the truth to you in love. I will encourage you and strengthen you in your walk with God. I will not let the sun go down on my anger, but I will strive to be gracious to you, tender-hearted, forgiving you even as God has forgiven me. I will seek to acknowledge the Lord in everything, knowing that He will direct our paths. I will strive to be peaceful, content, and joyful in every situation we encounter together, believing that He is working for our good and His glory, and that we can do all things through His strength. I promise to passionately pursue you, to pray for you, and love you truly when we are together and when we are apart, no matter what may be ahead of us. I will strive to fulfill you, empowering you to do the things that you dream, assisting you in accomplishing the work God put you here to do, and encouraging you when you feel discouraged by your own faults or the world's pressures. I will honor you in my conduct and conversation in order to bring glory to the name of our Lord. I am committing to be for you, determining to be faithful to you, and pledging to reserve myself for you only. I am proud of who you are, and you are the one I want to build a home and life with. I will always be there to laugh with you, cry with you, lift you up, and love you unconditionally through all our adventures in life together. I commit myself and all that I am to you. I recognize my inability to do all these things apart from God's grace, and I rely on Him alone for the power I need to live in a godly way as your wife.
Ben and Colleen have chosen the ring to be a reminder of the marriage covenant and of those vows. As the ring is an endless circle until broken by some outside force, it is a fitting symbol of the union of your marriage, which is to continue until broken by death. Like God's love, it has no beginning and no end. Who has the rings? Ben, do you give this ring in pledge that you will keep this promise and perform these vows?
I do.
You may place it on your bride. Colleen, do you give this ring in pledge that you will keep this promise and perform these vows?
I do.
You may place it on your groom. To represent the commitments they have just made, they will each take a candle and light the center one. Then they extinguish their own candles, allowing the center one to represent the union of their lives as one. This symbol is what our Lord meant when He said, "On this account, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." And Jesus said, "Consequently, they are no longer two, but one. And this one light is not divided, neither shall their lives be divided, but a united testimony to their unity in the Lord Jesus Christ."
Selfish dreams now on the ground.
Would you please pray with me? Father God, we thank you for love is from you. In Genesis, you created man and you said it's not good for him to be alone. In Deuteronomy, you say that if there is a war ongoing, that a newly married man should commit himself to loving his wife, for that's the more important battle. You tell us in Proverbs that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And in Song of Solomon, you speak of the beauty of love. Of course, in the Gospels, your Son has shown us the sacrifice of love. And then in Ephesians, you tell us that that's the love we should imitate in marriage. In Revelation, you challenge us with the thought that one day we'll be wed with your Son. Lord, this story is ultimately a story of you and your love. And Ben and Colleen have the opportunity to reflect that beauty to one another. We praise you for that gift and that opportunity. We ask that you would bless them with many wonderful years of sacrifice and love and commitment to one another. We ask that their friendship would grow, their family would grow, and that their love for one another would deepen. Father, we praise you for who you are and how you love. In your name we pray. Amen. And now, having heard you make these pledges of your affection and take these vows, I do, by the authority conferred upon me by the Church of Jesus Christ and the laws of this state, pronounce you husband and wife in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Benjamin, you may kiss your bride. Would you please stand with me? It is my honor to present to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Benjamin Brovaugh. At this point, the bride and groom would like to thank you very much for participating in their very special day. They'll ask that the family come back in for pictures following. Otherwise, you are dismissed to the Teen Challenge Center for refreshments over there. The bride and groom will do their best to be around to greet you throughout the evening. Thank you very much.